Blessed Father, we just love you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this privileged opportunity that you have given unto us, Lord, allowing us to set our hearts, our minds, and our souls upon holy ground. Father, we thank you for this privileged opportunity, Lord, that we had in worshiping you and glorifying you and thanking you. And now, Lord, we're going to study upon thy word. So, Father, I ask right now that you speak through me. Use me, O Lord, as your instrument, Lord. Use me, Father, and let me preach with conciseness and clarity. Use me, Father, that I preach with boldness and courage. And then, Father, I ask that you prepare thy people. Tend to their ears, tend to their hearts, tend to their minds, O Lord, that they are able to hear thy word and receive thy word for thyself. Father, we do pray this and give Son Jesus Christ's mighty and precious name. And let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. First, give an honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for this privileged opportunity to stand and share and preach his word. To Pastor and Co-Pastor Carpenter, thank you so much for the privileged opportunity to come and share a word with your congregation on this morning. To my pastor, the Reverend Dr. John Edward Douglas of the Antioch Baptist Church, I just glorify him. I thank him. I love him. Thank him for his teaching and just keeping me. To the ministerial staff here at PPP and WCC, to the officers of this great church, and to the congregation that is here assembled, I greet you in Jesus' joy.
Amen.
To my family, if you will stand for me for a quick second, amen. Amen. I love you and thank you. My grandmother is here. I'm blessed to still have a grandmother. Amen. My father is here, who I'm named after. Amen. My mother is here. My son, who is the third. And my nephew, Tyree, and the one I call beautiful, my wife. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I thank you for your support. Amen. PPP, WCC, I had the distinct privilege and opportunity to journey with your pastors. Amen. We did a pilgrimage almost a whole year now in Israel. Amen, sir. We had a fantastic time in the Lord, pilgrimage and journeying throughout the land of Israel. We had a wonderful time, and it's been such a joy since coming to. I have met the both of them. Pastor Carpenter is a man of humor. I'm learning this over the years. His friendship with my pastor is excellent, and I had no idea he would talk about my silver today. God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, there is a word from God. There is a word from heaven. Children of God, do you know that today is the very first day for the rest of your life? Tomorrow is not promised. So when this day is gone, oh, it's gone. Our Father in his love for us gave us the option to choose how we would live out this life on this day. We could choose to live our lives out in love or in hate. We could choose to live in fear or in faithfulness. We could choose to be kind and considerate, serving one another, or we can choose to be selfish, focusing on ourselves. We could choose to live in peace or be tormented by the trials of our lives. We could choose to live a life of purity before the Lord, or impure, satisfying our every pleasure. I have a question. How many people, children of God, today is looking for a revival?
My Lord.
How many people are looking for a change, looking for
a revival.
Amen.
The book of Acts is a continuation of the gospel according to Luke. Here Luke shows what Jesus began as a person on earth and continued to do through the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. The book recounts the life of the church in Jerusalem and the spread of the good news of Jesus throughout all Samaria. The book recounts Peter's ministry and the early persecution of the believers. The focus then shifts to Paul and his ministry and his mission to extend the life of and the teachings of Jesus Christ to both the Jews and the non-Jews. Those are the Gentiles. It is important to indicate that Paul was not always named Paul. He was born a Pharisee, and at that birth he was named Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus, the one who was on a quest, a mission, if you will, to arrest, to persecute, to punish, and kill, if needed, Christians who worship Jesus Christ.
Well,
he, by any means necessary, set out to prevent the spread of the gospel and the building of God's kingdom. But on that day, that very day, long time ago, on Damascus Road, he experienced a conversion. The one Saul experienced a physical affliction of blindness. He was convicted by the Lord Jesus Christ because of his murderous mentality and his behaviors. But the Lord restored him. See, the Lord restored and used him for his glory. He restored his sight. Now the one Paul who once hunted Christians took joy in preaching, teaching, and sharing Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Now Paul became the haunted. See, but he was more than just haunted. He was trapped. He was arrested and he was in prison for spreading the word of God. Paul was found to be guilty for preaching the kingdom of God and salvation to Jews and Gentiles throughout the land. See, his accusers were his own people. They trumped up charges against him. They accused him of teaching against Jewish customs and the laws of Moses. They felt he was dishonoring the temple as it was a place of worship. But what's so interesting about Paul is what he had experienced. See, in chapter 20 in the book of Acts, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, had already ministered to him and told him that he would experience trials and turbulent times. See, the Holy Spirit told him that he would be placed in bondage. He would be placed in captivity. He would be in prison and that he would have to endure some suffering and some pain. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 28. It was read by my sister already. We already rose for God's word. You can remain seated if you like. Amen. That's okay. Amen. Starting at verse 23, and I'm going to read from the New International Translation. And the message of the Lord is this. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even large numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Look at what happened here. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. Here's the statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. Become hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. I asked the very question in the beginning, who's looking for a revival? The scripture that we just read was the message of God. I'm going to simply try to paint the picture a little bit more so that we can see this clearly. And in painting this picture, if I could leave you with this subject thought, brokenness to a revival. Brokenness to a revival. When you consider your life, is your cup half empty, half full, or half empty? The psychological perspective on this thought considers just how an individual views his or her life. A cup that is half full translates to someone who is optimistic. In other words, they are open-minded. It is someone with a positive outlook on life, a visionary, an individual who sees a way out, who is on their way to the top. On the contrary, a cup that is half empty translates to someone who is pessimistic. In other words, they are closed-minded. It is someone with a negative outlook who struggles to see their way out, who feels they are headed to destruction, despair, and depression. They are losing it all. It all begins with your level of thought. The way it works is like this. Your thoughts influence your emotions, your moods, anger, fear, sadness. And then your emotions manipulate your behavior. You know, the things that you do, the things that you say. Amen. And it is your behavior that is put on display for all to see. So I have a question for you today. How are your thoughts? What kind of words are you using? How are your behaviors before the Lord? Are we still serving Him with awe? Or has our service become stagnant? Has Jesus become unpopular in your lives? Has serving Him become like a chore in your life? Has your faith been put on autopilot? Has it been put on cruise control where you have become so laid back, forgetting the cost that our Savior paid that allowed us this privilege to be here today? Wow. Have we become so self-absorbed and gratifying our own fleshly desires that time after time we forget to say, thank you, Lord. And if we allow the truth to be told, many of us are penciling Jesus in our busy schedules. But wonder why we have moments in our lives where we see our cup half empty. In our text, we meet Paul in a particular situation. See, he is on house arrest under the Roman authorities. But he's just not under house arrest. At the same time, he is also in protective custody. See, Paul began his ministry of evangelizing and preaching the kingdom of God. This was done immediately after he was converted on Damascus Road. See, he preached to repent and keep your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jewish leaders, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't like it. They continued not to believe Jesus was the Messiah. They continued not to believe that Jesus was resurrected. They didn't understand. They didn't want others to know or understand. It was over their heads, if you will. So in their ignorance, they began to falsely accuse Paul. They wanted Paul dead. They were fed up with him. Well, they was through with him. They had it up to here, if you would. Paul got on their nerves. So they plotted to kill him. But the Lord was with them. The Lord was with Paul and protected Paul as he used a Roman authority and the guards to keep him safe. And then by my pause and highlight for a second, we never know who the Lord may put in our lives to protect us. Furthermore, we never know when the Lord may use or may have you in a particular situation that might keep you protected. So we have to make sure we continue to be obedient unto the Lord. Amen. Even when He has you in a particular situation. And so Paul, he embarked on this long journey, which began in Jerusalem and it ended in Rome. The journey wasn't easy either. for there were many storms that he encountered as he traveled the seas. Mm-hmm. See, Paul, you know, what was amazing was that he was enlightened. Mm-hmm. And Paul never stopped talking about Jesus or the kingdom of God during his journey. He continued to preach salvation as Jesus was or is the risen Savior. See, Jesus gave Paul some peace in the midst of his captivity. See, Jesus was Paul's hope as his own community wanted to accuse him. See, Jesus was Paul's joy as he endured and survived many storms. See, Jesus was Paul's strength when he became emotionally weak and frustrated. We're talking about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who restores, the one who is sovereign, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father at this time and look down upon you and I and save us. His grace and his mercy is good for our souls. But if we really reflect on Paul's commitment, he was persistent in wanting to appeal to his countrymen, these Jews. It was more than just pleading his case and attempting to prove his innocence. He wanted them to truly understand that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. And he was resurrected and he dwells at the right hand of the Father. This is a lesson as our walk with Christ ought to be as committed as Paul demonstrates. He didn't allow circumstances. Let me say that again. He did not allow circumstances. He didn't allow events. He didn't allow people to affect his devotion and his work for kingdom building. Here we find him quoting the prophet Isaiah, where he's insightfully highlighting their ignorance and their failures due to their own physical conditions. At this point, he appears to be experiencing several emotions. Mm-hmm. See, Paul seems to be experiencing some frustration. He seems to be experiencing some disappointment. He seems to be experiencing some concern and some determination and hope as he points out their physical limitations. Paul sounds like a pastor to me, huh? How do we know all this? Well, the scripture tells us that Paul preached as pastors preach. Paul evangelized as pastors and ministers evangelized. And he spoke to them from morning to evening. How many of us ready to sit in church from morning till evening? Paul preached and he evangelized to them from morning till evening, declaring and explaining the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And I guarantee they probably ain't had no chicken and rolls and macaroni and cheese either. They probably ain't take a break in between that time period. But Paul preached from morning to evening. And some were convinced. Some were convinced. Some were persuaded, while others continued not to believe. Some were convinced. I'm going to say that one more time. I don't know who I have in here. Some were convinced.
Yeah.
Some were persuaded, while others continued not to believe. So the problem was there were skeptics in the crowd. There were some skeptics in the crowd. There were doubters. There were mockers. There were non-believers in the community that Paul just ministered to. So he called their attention to their physical condition, their physical weakness, their ability to see, their ability to hear, their ability to feel and comprehend has been compromised. It has become weakened. The scripture points out and it indicates you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. It's hard. It's hard to penetrate. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. I pray and hope we don't have anybody in here with our ears closed and our eyes closed on this day. And if your heart is hard, let it become softened. Let the Lord soften it right now. See, the Lord searches every heart.
Yeah.
And he understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you.
Amen.
But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever.
My Lord.
Children of God, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much and wants to encourage you in His Word. His Word is life. His Word is nourishment. It strengthens our heart, our mind, and our soul. So have you been in to see Him for yourself lately? When was the last time you gave that He gave you a checkup? When was the last time Jesus gave you a hearing test? When was the last time you had your vision checked? When was the last time you had an EKG, you know, where it tests your heart? When was the last time you spent time with Jesus? Or we're just seeking a revival. We're just seeking a revival. But to get to this revival, you have to be broken. We're talking about brokenness to a revival. So what do I have to do to be broken? How do I break myself?
All right.
What does being broken look like?
Yeah.
Some good questions. To clear the air, and not to confuse you, I'm not talking about situational experiences, such as financial hardships, legal problems, or academic and educational issues. Mm-hmm. To clear the air and not to confuse you, I'm not reflecting even on medical, physical, behavioral, or psychological problems.
Well,
I'm not even talking about emotional struggles, such as dealing with depression and despair.
Well,
as all these events can cause someone to feel broken, it is not the type of brokenness that will lead to a revival. The brokenness I'm reflecting on is a self-absorbed, me, myself, and I brokenness. The brokenness is to deny yourself. Jesus illustrates it best when He tells us to pick up our cross and follow Him. It is a decision you have to make for yourself. Being broken is both God's work and it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
See, He brings the pressure for us to bear, but we have to make the decision. We have to decide and allow those hardships to bring us closer to Him.
Well,
brokenness. We have to allow Him to be the Lord over our lives. How do I do that? Another good question. What does it mean to deny myself?
Yeah.
Good question. Well, our will must be broken to His will.
Amen.
Which means that that hard, unyielding self, which means that you have to tend to that hard, unyielding self, which justifies itself, which wants its own way, which stands up for its own rights, which seeks its own glory, and which bows its head, which will refuse to bow its head to God's will. We have to admit our wrongdoings. We have to give up our rights and discard our own glory that God, that the Lord Jesus might have all and be all in our lives. So in so many words, it is dying to self and self-attitudes. So when we look at ourselves in the mirror, and if we're going to be honest, we can see how much this self there is in each of us.
Well,
it is always self who gets irritable, envious, and resentful. It is always self that becomes critical of others. It is self that is unforgiving and quick to make judgmental comments.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's self who is hard and unyielding in its attitude towards others. It is self who is shy, who is self-conscious, who worries and are reserved. It is self who tries to live this Christian life. But we need breaking. Children of God, we need to be broken. Why? Because as long as self is in control, God can do little with us. Brokenness. Brokenness in daily experience is simply the response of humility to the conviction of God. And as much as this conviction is continuous, we shall need to be broken continually. It says in 2 Chronicles, and my sister said it in her prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says to us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then
will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their lands. In other words, children of God, what I'm saying to you is that you must respond, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and your way for my life. And as I prepare to take my seat, as I prepare to try to close this out, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot live in us fully and reveal himself through us until the proud self of us is broken. When we reflect back on Paul's life and we observe the experience, we saw him suffer physical blindness, which was God's conviction on his life for his lifestyle. But Paul's sight was restored. Jesus restored his sight and gave Paul a new mission in life. Jesus gave Paul an assignment to live the rest of his life serving him. And Paul willingly submitted unto our Lord. He was willing to live a life of brokenness, surrendered unto our Lord to bring glory and to bring honor to our Lord God. He demonstrated acts of selflessness and considered not his own preference but to show obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we consider the life of Jesus, we see that brokenness to a revival also. Jesus, who once sat high on his throne, being the nature of God, did not consider equality what God something to be grasped, but Jesus, who made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We're talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We're talking about Jesus, our strength, our Redeemer. Jesus, who can heal, who restores our hope, who restores our joy, our love. Jesus, who is our revival. Jesus Christ, the one who lives at the right hand of the Father. So, children of God, these were acts of brokenness that led to a revival. When we consider these life experiences, why not choose today who you will serve? Do I have some people who are willing to be obedient to the voice of the Lord?
My God.
Are any of you willing to fulfill the request that the Lord has placed on your hearts? Are any of you willing to go anywhere the Lord is calling you to go?
Well,
it might be a specific place or it might be a specific assignment. But the question is, and the question remains, will you be obedient? Will you change your lifestyle and serve him?
Well,
Will you surrender yourself to him? Will you repent of your sins and turn to Jesus? Will you be willing to be broken? Brokenness to a revival. Will you be willing to be broken if we are seeking a revival? Jesus Christ, he is that revival. And it's not I, but Christ. It's not I, but it's Christ. And see, when you look at the I and you look at the C is nothing but a bent I, brokenness. You have to be broken to be with Christ. Oh, my God, bless you richly. May heaven smile upon you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.